Welcome to one more episode Micro Podcast Digital Transformation Industry 4.0 and Emerging Technologies. I am Vijay Gunti and I am your host today. Today with me is Braj Panda. Braj is a seasoned digital leader and CXO level advisor with hands-on experience in strategy and execution of large-scale tech-enabled transformation for Fortune 500 companies across diverse verticals. Welcome, Braj, to our Micro Podcast. Can you also please introduce yourself to the audience?
Sure, Vijay. First of all, thank you for inviting me to your show. Warm hello to the audience. It's an honor to be here, Vijay. Introduction about me. I'm a computer engineer by training. I started out as a professional software developer about 18 years ago. Grew through the ranks as a tech leader and a solution architect. And in between, I have played various other roles that you would typically associate with an HDLC or an IT engineer in India. But when I was a solution architect, I figured I like the big picture and solving the business problems with the use of technology. And I was quite natural at solutioning and advising clients. So I decided to try my hands at consulting full time. And then I got lucky to get a chance at McKinsey, which is kind of the place to be if one wants to learn the art of consulting. So that's how the journey has been. Recently, I joined Billasoft, where I lead their digital strategy and consulting function within the larger global digital practice.
Very good to know, Braj. I see from your experience, you have an extensive journey in the digital transformation and digitization Braj. Can you also share some of the challenges you saw or you see in future in the adoption of digital transformation industry 4.0 across industries?
Yeah, sure. The challenges earlier, I think pre-pandemic, I think, as you know, with COVID, the situation has changed a bit. But some of the challenges are common, right? So there are with the advent of digital technologies, which are the possibilities are sort of endless, right? So the too many possibilities only add to the confusion. I have noticed. I think clients across sectors, they find themselves at sort of cusp of this innovation, right? Not knowing which technologies to use and which are technologies to sort of stitch together for an effective solution to their business challenges, right? So that is one. Then I think many people actually don't know the effective usage of data. Okay. Thanks to the amount of education that we have in the industry today, a lot of organizations are realizing the importance of data. They are also doing fairly well at collating the data, right, or finding the sources of data. But drawing effective insights from this data, I really don't think we are there yet. Okay. And then on top of that, you have another technology challenge, which is prevalent everywhere, which is legacy systems, too many legacy systems. And you can't blame the enterprises for it, really, because they cannot just wake up one morning and decide to spend, dump everything that they have and spend millions of dollars or hundreds of millions of dollars changing everything from end to end, right? So they need advice, they need guidance in going about transformation of these legacy systems. And on top of this, I think there is an overarching problem, right? Which is lack of a clear playbook. There's no real clarity, right? What should be my first practical steps, right? Which new solution should replace which of the existing systems, right? Or which new solution should be added on top? Where should I allocate my budget first, right? What kind of executive should I appoint to the project? Because there is a skill gap as well, right? And then there you have, should I look at tools first? Should I look at inventory management first? Should I look at quality control first? Should I look at process optimization first, right? And wherever I start, whichever way I go, how do I really measure my success? Do I have my OKRs defined? Are my KPIs really clear? Many of these sort of unanswered questions, right? They basically puts the executives on a back foot. So they want to really start, but they can't really start. So they all have to be sort of enabled in all these areas.
Good to know, Braj. And now coming to the benefits and opportunities, can you throw some light on that?
Yeah, sure. So Vijay, I think you and I both have a common interest in terms of the manufacturing world, right? So let's take that as an example here. And Birlasoft also coincidentally happens to be a rather largely manufacturing transformation focused organization because right, Birla Group, right? So
Right,
we
true.
sort of inherit the domain knowledge. We're pretty good at that. So
Yes.
as compared to some of the other verticals like let's say pharma or banking, we are much sort of mature in manufacturing. We have a lot of top clientele in manufacturing. So let me take that as an example. Now, in a manufacturing world, for example, there are three large sort of or three prominent benefits that you would expect by adopting digital transformation. And how do you adopt digital transformation? By adopting Industry 4.0 technologies,
Right,
right? So the
right.
three main improvements and advantages would be in cost, quality, and time. In as far as cost is concerned, you would do predictive maintenance. You have plenty of data, and so you run advanced analytics on it, and then you enable it by machine learning, right? So predictive maintenance is one. Then you do consumer behavior segmentation, right? And based on that, you customize your products or your operating model or create new models, right? And then as a third example, you do smart system optimization, right? By monitoring simultaneously across all your processes, right? So those are some of the cost improvements. The second improvement would be, I think, quality, right? Quality, how do you improve? So you monitor condition, across your machinery. You detect anomalies, right? You actually create self-healing or self-correcting machinery, right? And thereby improve the quality, right? So you can also add smartness in yours, to your manufacturing or supply chain processes. So then that's all by use of data. Third advantage would be related to time, right? So we all have heard of things like digital twins, right?
True.
Now, if you virtually commission digital twins, what happens is you can test all your concepts in the virtual world itself, right? So you end up saving the time in the physical world. Right, because by the time you go to the physical implementation of a component, you're already near perfect, correct? So yeah, I think these are cost, quality, and time related benefits is what how I would categorize.
Very truly said, Abresh. So now we covered on the challenges and then opportunities. What you know, right? We are entering into the new business norm, and every industry is adopting the business norm. Like I think the business, the transformation is happening everywhere, and with the manufacturing also, I see a lot of adoption into this new business models. Can you throw some business models in the post-pandemic era?
Yeah, sure. So I think the many of these examples are sort of around us, isn't it? Even in India, if you notice, many of the industries are looking at things that they would either find absurd, before the pandemic, or they would say, oh, this is, they would just deprioritize it. Okay. A very simple sort of example drive the point home. Now, a bank like SBI, which is we all make fun of SBI because of lack of technology adoption, and they've done really well during this pandemic. They have actually they were the first ones in India to introduce doorstep banking. Okay, banks that are pretty large like HDFC, ICICI, now they have all started many of the not so highly used processes like closure of loans, etc. Now they are actually saying you don't have to come to the bank. Anyway, this is my own real life experience recently. I was surprised. I went to a bank to close a particular loan, and then they said that, sir, you didn't really have to come because if you just call us, we will send you a link, and then you click on the link, and then you do the payment, and then we immediately send you an acknowledgement. So, and then to my reaction to that was, oh, maybe you just spend a little more in advertising it because I never knew about this, right? So, and we laughed it off. But so many of these things, are coming up now. And then you have all our food supply chains and, a lot of these unicorns, places like Bangalore, Hyderabad, etc., where who actually have come up with newer models to look at all sorts of delivery, starting from food delivery, document delivery, and all of that. They all have accelerated thanks to the pandemic, right? Then now, if you notice, the third thing is entertainment. Now, streaming is the video and audio streaming is the largest consumer of bandwidth, okay? And that is all because of the pandemic, right? Because now people are stuck at home, so they want they want to do something at home, and then that is video audio streaming has taken the center stage as a source of entertainment. Then fourth one is ed tech. Okay, you plenty of education platforms that have mushroomed, and then the existing ones like Baijus and all have taken such amount of market share during the pandemic, right? So there are many such business models that I would see that are closer to home, right? See around us.
True, very true, very true, Brush. So I know, right, you might have worked on many use cases, case studies, and then also pilots and POCs, Brush. So can you share some of, like, one or two use cases from your experience to the audience, listeners? But definitely would like to know more from you.
Yeah, sure. Like I said, the recent experience of mine has been in the manufacturing sector, after I joined Vilasoft. So maybe I can again bring up some of the areas from there, some examples from there. We are actually about to wrap up a fairly large transformation at a global leading engine manufacturer in Europe. We were actually tasked with a fairly staggering set of business outcomes, okay, to achieve those. So we had our task cut out, and then we immediately looked at some of the use cases, and I'll just quickly list them, right? And which are based on your interest or audience's interest, we can. I'm happy to deep dive on.
Yes. It would be good.
Yeah. So I think what we did, four or five things. One is, we completely transformed their supplier analysis solutioning. Okay, so we empowered their category managers of direct materials, right, in terms of analytics that ensures that the right parts are purchased from the right supplier at the right price. Okay, and this is basically this improved their ROI significantly. Then we brought in awesome innovation in terms of asset tracking. Okay, so we provided real-time tracking of shop floor assets, including powered vehicles and workers. Okay, then we, on top of that, we actually built a collision detection system, okay, which is real time, and then it brought down their security incidents, so it's their accidents, to zero, like literally zero. Third one was we used augmented reality AR to provide field service teams with instructions and illustrations, right, on a smart glass display. So thereby enabling their workers to fully focus on tasks. Okay, so they don't have to talk to people, they don't have to look at manuals, and thereby lose focus and then get into either an accident or do something wrong. Okay. Also, this same smart glass displays were given to the warehouse pickers, right? So with a pick list, like what all stuff to pick, how to provide instructions. So the folks in our audience who are familiar with shop floors in a manufacturing plant, right? So they would relate to this right away. Then the one more example that I can think of is field service automation, which is very common, right? So we basically had this company where they had 4,300 users. Mm. And so we basically automated many of their field service tasks.
Using
smart devices.
Got you. Thanks, Braj, once again for sharing excellent use cases to our audience and listeners. My next question is, let's shift gears and talk a little bit more into the technology. I know you have done an amazing work right out there. So, of late, we are hearing more on the digital emerging technologies such as Internet of Things, artificial intelligence, and blockchain. Yeah. Can you throw some light on that in the adoption of digital transformation industry 4.0 era?
Yeah, so that's actually a good question. And I say good question because the answer is fairly broad, okay? And not only broad, it's actually full of varieties, right? And it basically confuses people, not only executives, but also us, the specialists who go to advise executives, right? As to what option to choose where. So I always prefer in bucketizing technologies based on their value prop. Okay, so you have first sort of a bucket, which is related to data connectivity, So you have IoT there, you have cloud technologies there, you have blockchain there. Blockchain obviously brings the provenance of data, and then you have sensors there, right? So this is the first bucket, data and connectivity. Then you have the intelligence as the bucket, right? The analytics, advanced analytics, machine learning, and AI, adoption of AI, right? So that's the second bucket. Third bucket is the critical one, right? Which is the interaction between humans and machines, right? So this is where we have our robotic process automation. We have your automated guided vehicles, or AGVs as they call it, chatbots, AR, VR, all of that. Okay? And then the fourth bucket I would like to call it is the advanced engineering. Now this is slightly of an amalgamation between software and hardware, where we have concepts like additive manufacturing, like 3D printing, etc., renewable energy, nanoparticles, and so on and so forth, right? So these are the four sort of emerging sort of technologies, or the buckets of emerging technologies that I think are most applicable these days in the Industry 4.0 and this larger digital transformation area.
Very nicely articulated, brother. I like the idea of where you have bucketed the things and then broadly and shared to our audience. Thanks for that.
Thank you.
So coming to my last question for today's podcast, this is regarding more on the upskilling and career opportunities, especially for the freshers, students, and professionals. Can you share some light on the advice part, at least how they should look at least for the next 2 to 5 years?
Yeah, sure. I think, see, this is why I actually like your podcast a lot, Vijay. You actually bring the you know, points home, and you actually make it really actionable for the audience. And so I really appreciate that. I think, why don't I actually expand the question a little more, right? So in addition to freshers and students, let me also sort of address a segment of our profession, industry, in our IT industry, especially in India, that I feel very deeply about, which is our, some of the middle management level folks who have somehow lost their way in the industry, they went more into process and people management and somehow lost track of technology, right?
Mm.
The thing is that the great thing about your question is that the answer to it will actually reveal some of the ways, all these people can actually come back to the mainstream again, right? So they don't feel left out. Okay.
Very true.
Let's talk about some of the technologies. So let's say the set of digital technologies, right? You don't necessarily have to be a programmer with 10 years experience, 15 years experience to get into many of these technologies areas that I'm going to just list out very quickly now.
Right.
One is a set of digital technologies, right? How do we enable remote work for non-frontline workers? Okay. Cloud-based collaboration, video conferencing. These are sort of in really high demand, and they will continue to be so in the next 2 to 4 5 years. Okay, these are very good ways, very sort of tangible ways to come back into mainstream, right? Then you have the second category, which is technologies connecting the end-to-end value chain from again, a little bit of manufacturing bias here, but end-to-end value chain from suppliers, manufacturing, logistics, and customers, for better visibility, planning, and control. Okay, there are many tools that are slowly coming up. There is a lot of maturity that is yet to come in because COVID did not come to us with a lot of notice. Correct? We got hit by it suddenly. Correct? So these tools are not mature. So there's a lot of technology experience or expertise required by all these SaaS or otherwise vendors of these end-to-end connectivity tools. Then you have the other kind of connectivity, which is data visualization, creating transparency between in operational performance, manufacturing, and supply chain. So that again is another area. RPA is a big area. It's going to be a really big area to absorb many professionals, okay? Because RPA is going to mature even further, and we all know RPA, it doesn't require a lot of programming skills, right? If you have a good problem solving mindset, you can easily get into it, okay? So it is a good area for freshers and beginners to sort of get in as well. Then you have slightly more advanced things like predictive analytics, AR, VR, wearables, right? All these present very good lucrative career opportunities. Or other skills for lucrative career opportunities, in my opinion.
Excellent, Raja. I think you have covered most of the technologies and then your advice. One quick question, right? You have bought this and then the mid-level manager. So you have rightly said, right? You have to unlearn first. And then after that, right, you have to think of relearning or upskilling yourself. So if you can share also, right, where to start, right? I know, right, we have given a very good thought. A person, right, a 10 plus or 15 years of experience persons are there, what is a good starting point for them?
Again, a great question. I think, so let's actually think first why you have asked that question, right? And why that question is very, very pertinent. The point is, for a fresher or a beginner, they can pick up a technology subject or a programming language or a tool or a platform and they can get started. Whereas mid-level managers, they have their day-to-day job, right, to take care of first. So for them, starting a subject from chapter number one may not be efficient. The way to start for them would be to actually learn on the job. So how do we learn on the job? So whatever projects I am part of, you know, I would rather pick up a client's business problem that I'm solving anyway as a part of a job, right? For example, I was giving some, you know, use cases, talking about some use cases earlier. Let's say I'm leading a team or a project, which is basically tasked with creating a collision detection system for a manufacturing plant, right? Now, what are the topics being used there? Okay. Can I start learning top down? Can I start learning the business problem first or the desired outcome first? And from then on, what are the subtopics that are involved in it? Some of the subtopics being technology, right? Can I start learning about that just like a product owner or a product manager, not as a software developer, right? If I start like that top down and I take it step by step, I think by the time the project is over, I will be in a fairly good state. I may not become a ninja developer in that area, but I'll be in a fairly good state and I would have picked up that knowledge of that particular business problem and how it was solved using technology, right? If I do that for a year, I would have a good 5 to 10 such examples in my under my belt, right? And that makes me a much more valuable professional to my employer.
Very true, Brush. Very true. Thanks for sharing all the advices. And also a very, very good, exciting podcast. Audience definitely would love to listen to it. And then also definitely we'll connect to you in future for any further clarification, Brush.
Thank you. Thank you so much, Vijay. Love being here.
Thank you once again for joining our podcast. To all the audience, please stay tuned for such more industrial insights from various industry experts on digital transformation, Industry 4.0 and emerging technologies.